You know when you're locked in, focused, and fearless.
Welcome to the WNBA.
Your vision narrows. You can't look away. Every assist, every stop, every logo three.
From beyond the logo.
Every did you see that moment?
You bet.
What records are going to be broken this season?
All of it, right here. Lock in. It's the WNBA on ESPN. All season long.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Get ready!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What is happening at the University of Michigan?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Ward Manuel, after the end of this year, will step down. Are we just going to get full transparency on this?
Earlier on the show, ESPN college football insider Pete Thamel. Six-time Pro Bowler Gerald McCoy. Coming up, Open Championship winner Ryan Fox. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. All phone lines are lit. We're going to try our best to clear them out before we get out for today's program. We've got first 2 hours in the books already. Gerald McCoy last hour gave his sleeper teams for this year. Happy to take yours as well. He mentioned the Giants in the NFC and the Raiders in the AFC. We talked at length about what would it look like if Aaron Donald came back. It's scary.
This weekend,
hour number one, Pete Thamel joined us from the SEC Media Days, which has got two more days left to it. Lots to talk about in the SEC. And so if you missed any of that, you can go to our archives on Disney Plus, or you can check us out through your ear gate on however you get your podcasts. All 3 hours are available through our podcast network. All Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday, we just did that, but the Overreaction Monday podcast is sitting out there however you wish to get your podcast, if you want to hear it, or our YouTube channel to see it, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show for all of that good stuff. Still waiting to hear from LeBron James. That hasn't happened yet either. Major League Baseball just wrapped up our conversation of the Red Sox having won 14 games in a row, taking on the Orioles tonight to go for an even, if you will, 15. So that's what's going on in our neighborhood. Ryan Fox, who just won the Open Championships, about to join us on this program as well. And again, as I mentioned, 844-204-RICH being the number to dial right here on the show. So we got that going on for us.
Which is nice.
Which is nice.
Boom. Yankees just got rained out.
Is that right?
Yeah. Against the Pirates.
Okay.
It's raining sideways.
Yeah, I mean, it is, yeah. Due to inclement weather. Yeah.
It is raining sideways.
Who's that? Where are they at? Pittsburgh or New York?
It's in New York City.
They're in New York.
It's in New York for that. So where are the Red Sox playing? That's not rained out in Boston?
We're home, but yeah, I don't know.
It's got to move that way.
Yeah. It's
technically, right?
Haven't heard anything yet.
Goes up like that.
Okay. It
definitely was a little cloudy. And
all right, let's take a phone call. Ryan Fox is going to join us in a second here. All right, let's go to who's been waiting the longest here? Bernardo in Santa Clarita, California. What's up, Bernardo? How are you, sir?
Go Blue, Rich.
Attaboy. Attaboy. I appreciate
it. Brockman, congratulations, buddy.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate that.
What's on your mind, David? Bernardo, pardon me. What's on your mind, Bernardo?
Rich, before I begin, I had to take some time off of work. I had a scare a month ago. I had my first colonoscopy, and they found something. I'm okay now.
Good.
In the clear. Everything's good.
Nice.
But, guys, no symptoms.
Do it.
Totally feel fine. They caught it early and to save my life. So please, 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 gentlemen, if you're 45 and older, please go get your colonoscopy. You won't even know what happened. It could save your life. It saved mine.
Attaboy. Thanks for mentioning that. That's a true story, man. You don't wait. Don't wait. But
don't wait.
Yep, exactly.
If I may, I said I was going to do the Jets win loss, but in lieu of that, I would like to invite you gentlemen to Shakespeare in the Park here in L.A. I'm back in the show, thank God, after taking time off, but we're healthy now. We got the last week of the show this week here in Griffith Park, so if you get a chance, we'd love to have you guys out.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate the call, Bernardo. That's Bernardo in Santa Clarita, California right there. He talks about Shakespeare in the Park. I don't know why, but I think of the Naked Gun line. Do you remember that?
What is it?
Lieutenant Frank Drebin is going back and forth with the mayor.
Okay.
And she goes, you know, and she criticizes him for an arrest that he made. And he goes, well, if I see, you know, four people jump somebody in the park, you know, I arrest the bastards. And she goes, it was Julius Caesar, a performance of Shakespeare in the Park, you know. What did she say? You arrested four? No, you shot four actors. And then she pauses and goes, good one.
Good one, yeah. When I see five weirdos dressed in togas stabbing a guy in the middle of the park in full view of 100 people, I shoot the... That's my policy. Yeah,
that's my policy.
In full view.
It's a Shakespeare in the Park, you idiot. I don't know why I think about that. But.
You moron.
All right. So, you know what? Whenever I see performances that impress me and inspire me, I think, you know, could that have been me? Because I picked up the game of golf as a 17-year-old myself in Staten Island, New York. I just finished tied for 88th at the American Century Championship. And there were 89 people in the field. That's it. That's the only thing. Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the Open Championship, Ryan Fox, here on the Rich.
Yeah, let's go. Ryan,
good to see you. Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me.
I know you've been on a media tour all day, so I appreciate you taking the time to find the reserve here to keep talking about it. All right, first things first, Ryan. Can you show me that claret jug? Can you bring it closer to the screen?
Yeah,
I've never seen it up close.
There we go.
Okay, describe it for me, and there are my radio audience, if you don't mind.
I mean, I got told multiple times on Sunday the little golfer on the front always has to be forward.
Okay.
Oh,
all right. Didn't know that. Good to know.
There is, I don't know if you can see the engraving here. It's all the names are engraved all the way up the top of the claret jug.
Those are names?
Those are all names, yep.
Pick one out. What are you looking at right there? Do you need glasses?
Harry, yeah, it's pretty small. Harry Vardon.
No, why not? That's a good one. Oh. As good as any.
What year? 1898 at Prestwick. Does that sound right?
Okay, where's your name on it? Where's your name on it?
My name is, I got to turn around. My name is right here.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I don't know if I'm ever going to get used to reading that. So, yep, it's, there's a little bit. I don't know if you can see it there. Yeah. You got to.
Okay.
Which you've got to somehow pull out to pour wine in it, which I figured out on Sunday night pretty quickly.
So you so you have what'd you drink out of it? What's the first thing you drank out of it? What do you got?
We had multiple bottles of red wine. I don't know how many bottles of red wine went through that on Sunday night, but there was quite a few.
Okay. Who provided that wine, Ryan?
At this point I still don't know.
Doesn't matter. I guess it doesn't matter.
Was it the RNA? Am I gonna get a bill for it and like a couple of months, I don't care at this point. Like, I'll take it.
All right, one last thing for you on this. Do you know the label? Do you know what exactly you did drink, the red wine?
So I chose some, and it was a French, it was Louisville Barton from 2015 was the one that went in pretty early. That came off the wine list at Birkdale. The rest of it, I have no idea what went in, and it, for where we got to, it didn't really matter what went in it at the end.
And how long do you have the jug for? Is this for life now? Because he can't be. I mean, so, this is right. Like, this is the real thing, correct?
So this is a real one. They give you a replica one as well. So I've got the replica one sitting on the dining room table now. I get that for life. The real one I get to take back to St. Andrews next year.
Yeah, you do.
So I've got that for a year. And yeah, they just literally give it to you. With the two like wheelie carry cases, which I had to take on the plane on Monday morning. They don't really tell you much else, basically. Yeah. Like I just, this is it.
Take it.
Cool. Which one was in the overhead bin, Ryan?
They both were.
They both were.
They both were. Yeah.
Okay. Huh. Because was there any thought of checking that thing, Ryan?
There was, and I did have a discussion with my agent about it, and you don't want to be that guy that checks the claret jug and loses it. I'm pretty sure you don't want to put that pressure on an airline as well. No, wouldn't be great press if an airline loses the claret jug.
Okay.
Straight after the Open Championship. So, yeah, I talked to the gate agent and said, hey, look, or the check and said, I've got these. She, what is it? Well, it's the claret jug, the Open Championship trophy. She's like, okay, yeah, you probably should take that on the plane.
Yes. And are you, maybe you're like me too, like I've got to be the first on the plane so I can get the overhead bin space. You know what I mean? Like I had to do that. You know?
Yeah, no, I did that, and I reckon I pissed a lot of people off too because they were waiting for me to figure out how to get those two big boxes up in the overhead and take up way too much space, but it was worth it.
Too bad, man. Too bad, man. All you got to do is point to the leaderboard. Look at that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Although you strike me as a very humble individual, Ryan, and I did, see a video also of you FaceTiming your family. After that, can you walk me through that? Who were you talking to and what that was like for you?
Yeah, look, I spoke to, first of all, my wife and kids back in Florida, on, just a video call there. And, I kind of joked to my kids. Well, my kids had said to me earlier in the week, Dad, can you bring us a trophy home? And I kind of, I'll try. Like it's not overly easy to bring the, this trophy home. And then, said, well, Dad's bringing a trophy home to you. And my wife was, beside herself, to be honest. We had another golfer and his family here, Matt Pavon, which had sat there with my wife and watched. So they were there and they were all cheering. It was pretty amazing. And then I spoke to my mum and dad back home in New Zealand, who'd stayed up, I think, I don't know what time it was in the morning, maybe 5 o'clock in the morning for them, 6 o'clock in the morning. They'd been up all night. So, they were very proud. I don't know how they would have handled it watching. I imagine it would have been torturous a lot for a lot of it as well, like not being able to sit still. My dad definitely would have been pacing all over the lounge watching, I think. And just to be able to speak to them briefly before I got whisked away everywhere and do the the photos and the presentation and everything, it was pretty cool to be able to do that.
So I mean, we have the graphic at the bottom of the screen right here, Ryan, that you joined the PGA Tour at the age of 37. It's well documented. You didn't really start playing the game of golf until age 17. Why so late, Ryan?
So my family has some pretty good sporting heritage. My mum's dad played cricket for New Zealand. My dad played for the All Blacks. I grew up playing rugby and cricket. I played a lot of golf as a kid.
Okay.
But, I was a 2 handicapper at 16, 17 that, could play his home course, and that was about it. And then I gave up rugby and cricket when I started a law degree at university, decided law wasn't really my thing. Ended up playing some tournament golf, or taking golf more seriously my first year just to have something competitive to do, and I absolutely loved it. Mm-hmm. That was me done. I carried on a degree. I did an arts degree in psychology, which I don't think I've used anything that I learned in those 4 years at university, to be honest. But that was the one caveat from mum and dad, that you have to get a degree, something to fall back on. And if, your dreams don't work out, and to be honest, at the time, that was far more likely than this working out, that's for sure. So I started late. I turned pro at 25. I played on the Aussie Tour, onto the Challenge Tour in Europe. It was a DP World Tour rookie, I think, at about 30. PGA Tour rookie at 37. I'm definitely outside of the mold now. These guys coming out on tour at early 20s that are ready to win. I certainly wasn't that guy, but I'm sitting here with a claret jug behind me at 39. I wouldn't trade what's my career for the world right now.
Well, was there a moment where you thought of giving up, Ryan, where, the travel and the, the finances and the results were all kind of weighing you down?
It was, my second year as a pro, I was playing on the Aussie Tour. It wasn't necessarily the finances. It was just, I was playing badly, especially in tournaments. They've got a pro-am circuit, and I played quite well in the pro-ams to make a little bit of money, but I was well out of keeping my card that year. We had a couple of events left in the season, though, or the big events. I'd missed one of the cuts really badly at the Australian PGA. And then my dad came over and caddied for me at the Aussie Masters, which was had a really good field. The World Cup of Golf was the next week. So a lot of big American and foreign players had come down to play it. And I remember my dad going to me, you know, why do you play golf? And I said, well, it's supposed to be fun. But it was the opposite of fun at that time. And he said, okay, well, one goal this week is to go out and try to have some fun and we'll see what happens. And I finished fifth that week, made enough to keep my card, take the pressure off for the rest of the season. And I was, you know, I was two tournaments away from getting a normal job probably at that point. Like if I'd have missed those two cuts or whatever, I wouldn't be a golfer. So yeah, I can give my dad a fair bit of credit for, you know, those words of wisdom. And, you know, we did have a lot of fun out on the golf course that week when he caddied for me. And, you know, I played great the following year and got myself a win on the Aussie Tour and onto the Challenge Tour. And, you know, my career kind of kick-started from there. But, you know, I was two events away from quitting pretty much.
So what does it mean to you, Ryan, to FaceTime that man and the rest of your family, but that man in particular holding the claret jug? I mean, what?
Yeah, look, I think it'll really hit home when I go back to New Zealand and actually can give it to him. Like, Dad can hold it and, you know, obviously the rest of my family at home, like, there'll be something special. Like, talking to them on the phone is one thing, but actually seeing them will be where, like, that'll be different. And so I think our plan is to go back home to New Zealand in the next couple of weeks and try to just experience this whole thing. Like, if we had stayed in Florida, where, you know, we don't have any family here outside of my wife and kids, like, I wouldn't say it would be lonely, but we'd feel like we're missing out. So we're going to take the chance to go back home and share it with friends and family. And I'm very much looking forward to do that.
Look at that picture, man.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, that's
you're
that's,
looking at your name. You're looking at your name on that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that photo yet. I remember taking it, but I haven't seen it. That's very cool.
Yeah. Let's get that one for your office, right?
Oh, yes.
That is amazing. Ryan Fox here, a few minutes left with the Open champion. So the irony, Ryan, that you came to the game so late, and yet you're one of the fastest players on the tour, you know? It's the irony. Like, what? Why? Why do you play this way?
I mean, my brain just works quickly, I think. Like, I make decisions quickly. Even if you go back to, like, doing exams at university, like, it was either I knew the answer and I didn't, or I didn't, and there was no point thinking about it too much. Like, that's just what it was.
Sure.
And that's just how, like, I carried that into golf. I've always been the same. I think maybe, too, when I first started playing golf on a golf course, Dad used to take me to, like, corporate days, charity days at home, which he used to get invited to plenty, being an ex-rugby player. And, it was like I felt lucky to be there, and just I wanted to make sure I was out of everyone's way. Like, you know, just play quick, don't hold anyone up. I was always, like, the fifth person in the group or something like that when I wasn't supposed to be there. So just maybe conditioned that way a little bit, and I just kept it going. Excuse me. And I'm proud that I also kept it that way with a chance to win a major down the stretch. Like, yeah, nothing did. Felt like it changed coming down those last few holes.
Yeah, it did. Because, again, you know, obviously your birdies on 16 and 18 are huge and a lot of people talking about them. But I came on here yesterday talking about your holes on 15 and 17 and how you were basically golf got it out of the 15th hole, you know, with that lie in the bunker, and you didn't spend a lot of time. You're just like, all right, I take my medicine, get up and down, let's bogey and get back to work. Then you birdie. And then the break on 17 where you had an iron go 300 yards on you.
Yeah.
You know, and then you wind up in the bunker there and you're like, all right, leave me a chance for birdie. You didn't make it, but that was as quick to decisions I would think that normally people would just spend a million minutes on, Ryan.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think the one on 15, like, that was probably the most pivotal hole of the tournament for me, to be honest. Like, I felt like I had a really good tee shot. It was a yard away from being good, I think.
Yep.
And I knew walking up, like, I'd seen the on-course commentators come in and, look at it intently. And at that point, you know it's not going to be good. Like normally if it's in a bunker and it's fine, they just have a quick glance over and walk off, and they spent time rehearsing it and everything like that. I'm like, well, this is dead. So I kind of had almost prepared myself for it walking up. And then I go up and like, I had not, like, it was so obvious that shot, I had no other choice. Like I couldn't get club on ball any other way than to hit it out backwards. And straight away from that decision, I knew I had to just try to make four. Like if I made four, I wasn't out of the tournament. If I made five, I had a pretty big hill to climb there. And, you know, that was probably the best bogey I'll ever make in my life. And it felt like it kept the momentum going weirdly, even though I made a bogey. Nice. And then 17 again, like it was the same thing. I had a perfect tee shot. And I kind of knew 2-iron, if I got a bad bounce, it had a chance of getting in that bunker. And, I thought I'd hit it in the fairway. It looked like it was on grass for a long, long time there, and obviously just ran too far. And as soon as it went in there, I was like, well, you can still make birdie with a wedge. Just get it down the fairway. So I'm going to give myself a decent third shot and see if I can get that up and down. And I played the rest of the hole really well. I had a really good putt there and was, you know, I thought I'd hold that putt off the putter face, and that just missed. And then, you know, I had a chance. You tell me at the start of the week, I have a chance to win the Open down the last hole. I would have jumped at that, and I was, you know, I took that shot on and seized the opportunity, and you know, I still don't quite know how it happened, but it did happen.
Yeah, there's another shot for your office right there. That's, man.
Yeah, that, I haven't seen that one either. Damn.
Right.
Yeah,
right. Right. I mean, look at that right there, and then Stone. You know, not to complain or anything like that, but listen, circumstances in my household required me to switch television sets.
Oh.
When you strolled to 18 and Burns was going first, and I'm like, I'll definitely be able to make it to the next television set, turn it on and find it. And then by the time I did that, you were already hugging your caddy. And I'm like, what the hell, man?
Sorry.
This guy's playing. I'm like, what the hell? I missed it because you took 20 seconds. It's nuts.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Look, I mean, I will, enough. Like, I had done my work before it was my time to hit the putt. Like, I had looked at that from a bunch of different angles before hitting the putt. I'd had to collect myself while doing it as well. Like, you know, it had crossed my mind that this putt is to win the Open, and that was a little bit overwhelming at the time, and kind of got back it, you know, got myself back in the game. A couple of deep breaths, just tried to go through what I'd normally go, reading a putt, you know, look at it from a couple of sides, whatever. And then when Burnsy missed the putt, and I actually asked him, "Do you want to finish or not?" And he said, "Yeah, I'll finish." He finished, and like I was ready to go. Like, just I knew which way I was going to go. It wasn't a hard read. It was the execution was the hard bit, and I managed to do that. But literally going into the ball, I just tried to stay in the same routine. You know, a couple of deep breaths, which obviously happened quickly anyway, and then just focus on trying to hit at the right speed to give myself a chance. I went in the putt and not give myself something crazy coming back if it did miss. And I don't know how my hands were shaking, everything, but to see it go in. And then, like, I'm not normally a guy that shows a lot of emotion, but as you saw from that previous photo, like, I let it all out there. And it's pretty awesome, to be honest.
Yep. It is. I can confirm it is pretty awesome, and it's great to meet you. I say congratulations to you. Enjoy that time when you go back home with the claret jug. Make sure you pour something real special in that thing.
Oh, I certainly will.
You know, and congratulations, Ryan. We appreciate it. Let's do this again. We'd love to meet you in person if you're in Los Angeles at any point.
Thanks a lot, Rich. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. And I did feel all the support out there. It was brilliant. Thank you to everyone for all their kind words. I've seen a lot of it in social media and everything over the last few days. So thank you very much.
You bet it. That's Ryan Fox, the champ of the 154th Open Championship, right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Absolute Stones performance. He was great.
Isn't that great?
Love it. Love those types of stories.
And I just love seeing the claret jug up close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something in there. I don't know who's the official Royal and Ancient cleaner of it.
Well, so he has to give that one back, though?
Yeah. That you get to keep for a year.
But he brings, but you got to give it back.
But he brings it back to St. Andrews.
Oh, so when he played. I'd have been like,
because they got to give it out to somebody else,
Scotty Scheffler had that for the previous year. He brought it back.
I'd have been like Spicoli in the restaurant. Something happened to him.
I would have. You bring that. If you're, I'll pay a corkage fee to bring the claret jug.
Just pour it in here.
Yeah. whatever the corkage fee is.
That's right. Worth it.
Who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah. And the flex would be to win the Masters and the Open.
Oh, indeed.
And then show up in the fall with your jacket on and the claret jug and saying corkage fee on the house. Everybody here. You know? That's the way I would roll.
That's funny.
Hell yeah. When it comes to you and your home, Pella Windows and Doors are the experts at taking care of you and your home. At Pella, they find the products that meet your needs and their experts install them. And that means working with a company that builds and installs a quality product with real pricing, real simple, really beautiful. And when a trusted name like Pella chooses to partner with the Rich Eisen Show, well, that says a lot. 0% financing options are available. Certain restrictions apply. Visit your local Pella Windows and Doors showroom today at Pella.com/Eisen for details. Make life brighter with Pella Windows and Doors. My four downs on the Washington Commanders and your phone calls at 844-204-RICH when we come back. Rich Eisen here for Gusto. After all these years talking to athletes, coaches, entertainers, and people at the top of what they do, one thing is pretty clear. Success usually depends on getting the details right. For small business owners, that includes payroll, hiring, onboarding, benefits, you know, the work that keeps everything moving, even if it's not the reason you started the business in the first place. That's why there's Gusto. Gusto is online payroll and benefits software built for small businesses. It's all-in-one, remote-friendly, and incredibly easy to use, so you can pay, hire, onboard, and support your team from anywhere. Automatic payroll tax filing, simple direct deposits, health benefits, commuter benefits, workers' comp, 401k, you name it. Gusto makes it simple and has options for nearly every budget. And it's all built to save you time with built-in automated tools for offer letters, onboarding docs, direct deposit, and more. Plus, you get unlimited payroll runs for one monthly price. No hidden fees, no surprises. Try Gusto today at gusto.com/rich and get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/rich. One more time, gusto.com/rich. Save money on your next oil change with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get a $15 O'Reilly gift card after rebate when you buy 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for just $35.95. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts. While the world watches the stars at the FIFA World Cup this summer, Hyundai has its eyes on the next generation of talent. Future stars who are already turning heads at age 14. Because Next doesn't wait for an invitation, and neither do we. Hyundai has always moved the future within reach. We did it when we made advanced safety standard on every vehicle and engineered EVs with ultra-fast charging capability. Because the future isn't some far-off concept. It's already here. Next starts now. Hyundai, an official partner of FIFA.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Hire right the first time with LinkedIn Hiring Pro. Get started by posting a free job at linkedin.com/Eisen. On our Overreaction Monday podcast, Chris, again, we just did Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Did we not, or was it here yesterday, the shows that we do so much content, they bleed into one another. where we were talking about whose job it was to show John Harbaugh the video of Cam Scatterman.
Yeah, I brought that. I asked you, who like, showed Harbaugh, hey, you'll never see what Cam just did.
And I'm sure if that person is still the same person in the Giants organization that John maybe hasn't turned it over significantly, same person that would show Tom Coughlin things, right?
Right.
Once upon a time showed Ben McAdoo. I've got this photograph of a boat I need to show you.
Your guys are on a boat.
John Harbaugh has commented in a podcast on the Believe Network.
Okay.
Quote, my reaction was, I haven't talked to him yet. I'm going to talk to him, I'm sure. My reaction was this, dude, at least stick it. I mean, land the thing if you're going to do it, you know?
Well,
he's right.
That's
John Harbaugh. Gonna, didn't you? What we talked about it earlier with Gerald McCoy. He's like, he's a maniac. Let maniacs be maniacs.
Yeah, right? You can always say, hey, you should pull back. You shouldn't do this. But no maniac ever stops doing maniac type stuff, bro. Which is true.
He went on, quote, but Scat's got to be ready to go. He's been working super hard. He has really been training like crazy. And his mind is on camp. He's healthy. He's ready to roll.
Ready to roll.
Ready to roll. Ready to roll.
And I can't wait to see him out there at practice. End quote.
Okay.
Giants rookies report to training camp on Thursday. And then everyone reports next Tuesday, a week from today. Oh, my goodness gracious.
I mean, oh,
hey, I'm just like, hey, Cam, just let's not do this anymore. Right? Let's not. We don't. Okay. Let's just not do it.
You don't have to do it.
I think he stuck the landing. It's just that he tried it on a very unsteady surface to give him the benefit of the doubt. Looks like he slid. It's like the surface slid on him.
That's one of those, oh, what imagine? Was that?
Oh, my God.
I mean, could you
please? But we said on Overreaction Monday, TJ, we said the first thing whoever showed it to John would be like, headline is he's okay.
Right?
Here's the good news.
I got something to show you. It's all good.
Fine. Everything's fine.
But it's good.
But
I think you should see this.
I'm going to say this because she's not going to see it. Oh, she'd be so upset if I did this. You know who I'm referring to right now?
No. Oh, yeah.
Taylor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So she sent a letter for first 2 days of camp. She loves camp. She loves the kids there. But a couple things happened where she wasn't feeling all that great about it. And
do we got to send somebody up?
We get this letter and we're like, oh, my God. Like, we didn't see this one coming. Next letter comes from her a few days later. And on the back of the letter that you'd open up, she wrote, it's okay, this one's better.
She knows.
She gave us the headline.
It's funny.
She's doing great. That's
great.
But it's the same thing. Like, hey, coach, headline, he's okay. But what you're about to see.
You might not like it.
So you're getting a hello, mother.
It's
hello,
not right.
Father.
It's not right.
This one's better.
Oh, man.
All right. Ian, New York City, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up? Is this Entourage?
How's Vince Drummond?
Yeah, what's going on?
The boys.
Tell Turtle I said what up.
Hey, Rich, what's going on, big boss? It's an honor to talk to you, sir. I watched you as a little kid on SportsCenter growing up.
Thank you.
I watch you on NFL Network with primetime Michael Irvin.
Yes, sir.
So it's a big honor to talk to you, sir.
Thank you, sir. E is short for?
Easy?
Eric.
Okay. Of course, it's just like Entourage, huh?
It's Eric. That's
okay. What's on your mind, E?
I want to do Giants win-loss.
Ladies and gentlemen, E in New York City wants to do the Giants win-loss. Let's get some music here. All right, let's whip through this. What happens opening night against the Cowboys at home?
You already know.
That's sorry to Mr. T.J. Jefferson. That's a big win.
Come on, E. Coming out with a
come
W.
On, e. Come on.
I'm going to send Billy Walsh
now you visit the Rams on a Monday night.
Win.
2-0. Home for the Titans.
Win.
Oh, this is all set up.
Come on.
Greatness. Cardinals at the Giants.
That's a win.
4-0 at the Commanders.
That's a win.
Yeah, it is.
Daniels can't do it.
5-0, the Saints visit.
Commit to the bit.
Oh, that's a win.
6-0. 6-0. Giants are at the Texans.
That's a loss.
Oh, come on, E.
What's the point?
He's trying to be reasonable. Everybody back off, my friend E.
All right.
6-1 at the Eagles.
Oh, that's a big W. Eagles are falling apart.
There you go. We're back.
I like that.
7-1, Commanders. At home on a Thursday night. What happens?
It's a W.
That's a sweep. Six wins to start the season. 8-1, Jaguars at Giants.
That's a win.
9-1 at the Colts.
Win.
Take that, Daniel Jones. 10-1, Niners at the Giants.
Oh, that's a win.
Oh, 11-1, Giants at the Seahawks.
That's a win.
He's out of his mind.
Against the Super Bowl champ.
12-1. Home for the Browns.
That's a win.
13-1. Giants at the Lions on a Monday night.
That's a win. Sorry, Detroit.
14-1.
Sorry, Detroit.
Giants with a broom in Dallas.
Do it.
It's sweeping, just like the Knicks did to the 76ers and the Cavs.
Attaboy. Attaboy. Eagles at the Giants.
It's a win.
That's a 16-1 Giants record. E in New York City.
I love it.
E stands for ecstasy as well. Attaboy.
That's powerful.
Well done, sir.
Rich, I loved this was SportsCenter. I watched all the episodes.
Thank
Linda and Dan Patrick were hilarious, but
Thank
they
you.
Were all amazing. So funny. Everybody's got to check them out.
Thank you. E in New York City.
Woo. All right, E.
16-1, man.
Well, that's Super Bowl.
Right Pizza there. Boy.
16-1. Let me say this. I'm very excited for Giants fans and the Giants. One thing that's not going to happen is a 16-1.
Hey, don't take away his shine, Rich.
What?
Let him.
Their one loss is at the Texans.
Texans. Hello.
It's a good one.
Giants have the second longest NFC odds to make the playoffs.
What is it again? The second longest odds?
Yeah. They have the second highest odds to make the playoffs in the NFC.
Ooh, that's not fair.
They're only ahead of the Cardinals.
That's not fair. I don't think that's fair. Yeah. I think the Giants have improved their roster. Arvell Reese and Mauinoa are going to be players. I just thought they should have gone to Arvell Reese and Caleb Downs, man. Bring the legacy. Bring the legacy.
She's just like, no. Hush. No.
I thought, you know, again, I thought the Giants were going to do that. Two Ohio State defenders around Sonny Styles, who's Washington Commanders, is the subject of four downs coming up. Let's take a break. We'll finish up this program on a Tuesday and set you up for the rest of the week right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Rich Eisen here. Running a small business means every hire matters. A bad hire costs time and money, but the right one helps your business grow. The challenge? Finding that person without sorting through resumes. That's where LinkedIn Hiring Pro comes in. It screens candidates so you can focus on conversations with qualified talent. With Hiring Pro, you can hire with confidence and build the team you need. Join the 2.7 million small businesses using LinkedIn to hire. Get started by posting your job for free at linkedin.com/Eisen. Terms and conditions apply. Rich Eisen here with some advice. If high interest credit card debt is grinding you down, it might be time to call an audible with a SoFi personal loan. It consolidates your debt into one low monthly payment with no fees required. And with as soon as the same day funding, you can make the right play fast. Call an audible on your debt today at SoFi.com/debt play. Loans originated by SoFi Bank N.A., member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS 696891. Fast funds terms apply at SoFi.com/debt play.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Get into the Hyundai Getaway sales event and get away with a deal so right it almost feels wrong. And right now, you can get great deals on our most popular models. There's the adventure-ready SUVs like the Hyundai Santa Fe or the Santa Fe Hybrid, the Tucson Hybrid. There's the all-electric Ioniq 5, the Ioniq 9, the bold and stylish Elantra loaded with the latest tech. Get down to your local Hyundai dealer and get away with a deal you'll love during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for details. I'd have this piece of paper that's all crumpled up because I thought it was garbage, and it's not.
What is it?
This is not a metaphor. I think this is a great four downs. On the Washington Commanders, hit it.
Four downs with Rich.
Here we go. Why did he stop?
Very good. My four downs.
That's not a, you know.
It's not a metaphor. It's excellent.
Soothsaying on the Commanders season?
Not at all.
Oh. Okay.
Not at all. How dare you? I think I've got legitimate questions about the season in the form of four downs. That's four questions.
Let's go.
Sort of like Passover. A joke you wouldn't get.
That's true. Oh, I don't get it.
I'm definitely not the youngest one in the room. That's another Passover joke you won't get.
I am the youngest in the room.
Okay. Well, I don't know how old he is.
I am the second youngest in the room. Just know
how
that.
Do you know?
I know how old you are, and I know how old he is, and I know how old he is. So
we now have a range.
You have
sort of like the Price is Right range finder on your age. All right. First down on the Washington Commanders. How good can Sonny Styles be right away?
Right.
Want to know right away?
Right away.
How fast? No Bobby Wagner. Take a look at their roster, man. You know, last year was they were filled with a ton of OGs.
And an older roster, yeah.
They did, and they've been working on that for sure. But how fast can this kid be good? Because they could use it. They could use him to be defensive rookie of the year great right from jump. And certainly that, you know, putting him in the hands of Dan Quinn is very, very helpful in that regard. But how fast can he be this good right away? And so that's the question right there. Second down. You take a look at their depth chart. Who are their playmakers on offense?
Mm. Yep.
With all due respect.
No, you got Terry.
No, for sure.
Well, I mean, I love the guy, as you know. Yeah. He's, and I'm not supposed to like him.
That's, yeah, you know. Yeah.
They got Rashad White from Tampa.
Now, that's the other thing. And then the running back room, Rashad White, he's now going to be there.
Yeah, and they got Bill Kroski
Bill Kroski.
Bill Kroski.
You know, they added as you know. Well, at tight end.
He's the one. They just signed him, right?
Yep.
Everybody was penciling, if not sharpieing in, Brandon Ayuk, but that does not appear to be happening.
Who knows? That's got Trey Burks there.
Well, and we've been waiting
McCaffrey.
For him. He had the height, weight, speed comp of A.J. Brown, which is why the Titans drafted him when they traded A.J. Brown into this division, where he no longer resides.
My cousin Van Jefferson's on.
But how many guys, look, we talk about fantasy, how many guys are you going to take early from this team?
Early?
Only the quarterback.
And I don't even know if you're going to do that either. I don't know if and we'll get to that question in a second.
Yeah.
Third down.
Bill
Kroski there. Nice to meet you. The only running back in the league where it sounds like you just met him at the Elks Lodge. As he hands you a business card.
The VFW.
Hi, I'm Bill Kroski Merritt. If you're looking to get into this business, I'm that man for you. All right. Third down are the new Commanders on both sides of the ball. New coordinators, everybody. David Blau on offense and Durante Jones on defense. Okay, what does this mean? What does it look like? How does it manifest? What's going on? That's big. I mean, they got two new coordinators. We're wondering who their massive playmaker is on offense, and we're wondering what's going to go on with their draft choice, who wasn't offensive. You want defensive there. So there's that. And then fourth down, maybe their best playmaker on offense is in fact the quarterback. And the question is, which year does year three look like for Jaden Daniels? Year one or year two? That's it. Year one, is he the revelation at the position?
Year one.
Is he the revelation at the position that we saw in his rookie season? Or is he a guy who is slight of body, who will get knocked around, who will take unnecessary shots potentially, and then doesn't answer the bell because he's hurt? No fault of his own, but is that what it is? Or is he the man? And we're going to have to say, and then the whole idea of who's the best playmaker on the team and where's the playmaking going to come from becomes that much more stupid. I don't know.
Mm.
And then, of course, all of it plays into Dan Quinn's future viability, which is, I did not choose to make a down. But you take a look at, you know, at their defense. You know, they added Odafe Owe, who is a really good football player. You know, Leo Chanel from the Chiefs. That's a really good football player as well. Mikey Sanristil is a dynamite back end guy and a leader of the team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously I'm biased when it comes to him. But can they put together enough wins to get back in the mix? Or was that just a rocket ship season one for Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn together that they're not going to be able to get back?
Yeah.
And those are my four downs for the Washington Commanders. Did I miss anything, gents? In your estimation?
For them? No.
Okay.
No, I think it's all kind of hinges on the quarterback and who can make some plays for him.
Okay.
Can Terry McLaurin get back to that guy from a couple years ago? I mean, last year just got so derailed.
Let's go to Josh in Kentucky to finish things up. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Rich. Just love the show, man. How you doing?
What do you want to do, Josh?
Let's knock out this Houday Nation Bengals win-loss.
Okay. We don't have to. Well, this, you're the fourth one. I shouldn't say that. All right, let's see if we could sneak this in before the end of the show here. What happens week one when the Buccaneers visit the Bengals?
Yeah, got a win opener.
Okay, and then you're at the Texans.
Yeah, I think we drop our first road.
Then you're at the Steelers.
Oh, we own Steelers, man. That's a dub.
2-1 home against the Jaguars.
This is where it gets weird. They played us tough last year. I think it's a sneaky loss.
2-2 at the Dolphins.
We own Miami.
3-2 at the Ravens.
I think we take the first against the Ravens, sure.
4-2 home for the Titans.
Me and my wife will actually be at that game, so let's pray for a win.
All right, 5-2 now in the home of the World Cup champs in Madrid at the Falcons.
Yeah, quarterback stitch, shaky win, shaky loss. I think we win it.
Okay, 4 wins in a row now. 6-2 back in the States against the Steelers to try and sweep.
Yeah, I'll take this split with Pittsburgh. We dropped that one.
Okay, now you are 6-3 at the Commanders on a Monday night.
I mean, just like your fourth down, too many questions with the Commanders. I think we take the win.
7-3, home for the Saints.
Yeah, I'll take the win there.
8-3 at the Browns.
It's a toughie, but I'll give them the benefit of a doubt with a late win for the Browns.
8-4, home for the Chiefs.
Can't stand Mahomes. Wish him the best, but please, God, win this one.
9-1, 2, 3, 4 at the Panthers.
Trying not to go higher registered. I'll take the win against the Panthers.
10-4 at the Colts.
Yeah. This is a tough one again. I think last season was a fluke. We take the win with the Colts.
11-4. Let's finish up strong. Ravens at Bengals on a Thursday night.
Sure, why not? Give it to Houdet Nation.
12-4, and then the Browns.
Let's close it out with the Dubs.
13-4, says Josh in Kentucky. Thanks for calling in, Josh in Kentucky.
Woo!
13-4.
Seems a little high.
Jordan in Hesperia and Jack in Columbus had him 14-3, and Kyle in Florida had him 13-4. A lot of Houdet Nation feeling really good.
Feeling good.
I'm taking off for visiting days for our kids. O'Shea Jackson Jr. will be in this chair tomorrow doing a double dip.
O'Shea's on his way.
And then Seth Rollins is back to guest host this show on Thursday and Friday. Then I'll be back Monday from Michigan for Kyle Whittingham's golf tournament. We'll be there live.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney+, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.